Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We are always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show. Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about payment processing. And to help me with that conversation, I have the CEO of Galileo Processing, Clay Wilkes. Clay, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, or good afternoon. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, to get things started here, can you give us a little bit of a background about Galileo Processing?
Certainly. Galileo is based in Salt Lake City. We were founded in 2000, and we have grown to become one of North America's largest payments companies and processors and program management are services that we provide. We have roughly 20 years of experience. We support debit, credit, prepaid, commercial, and virtual card products, and we have more than 87 million accounts that have been issued on our platform. We have a very strong culture that is centered on humanitarian work and philanthropy, as well as a number of other attributes such as the environment, and would love to have folks come and learn more about who Galileo is. We primarily differentiate ourselves based on the innovation, technological innovation that we provide. We've been an innovator. We're known as an innovator in the industry, and our platform and underlying capabilities are really significantly different than many other providers of processing services, and that's key. And it's really what has allowed us to be very, very successful in a very diverse payments ecosystem.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that. Now, there's a lot of buzz around APIs nowadays, and for good reason. And recently, Galileo Processing opened up an API. So can you walk me through why this is significant?
Yes. The APIs are absolutely critical in today's environment, open network type environment that we live in. Technology is key, and integrating that technology with other providers is a big part of that. And while Galileo has had an API for 15 plus years, providing an open API where really anybody can come to an environment. We've created an environment that we refer to as our sandbox. People can come and whether they have a formal relationship with Galileo or not, they can come and authenticate and begin, just dive right in and begin developing and coding. And on that site, we have our APIs fully published. It's a nice environment because you can see the not only the request, but also the responses that come back. All of that is delivered in a content managed way. But the nice thing is that there's code fragments there that are generated and personalized to your authentication, so that you can really just copy and paste and begin and being very, as a programmer, being very productive within a few minutes of coming to the site. So that's been very powerful. There's another perhaps more important reason that we've provided an open API. An API is really just a thin veneer into the functionality that exists below that layer. And we believe that Galileo's services are the really the best in the industry. And an API which delivers these services back then to our partner are important. And those services are have been, again, key to our success.
Right. Now, fraud is really another hot topic that it continuously goes on, especially within the payments industry. So I'm really interested to get your specific take on how fraud is affecting issuers and fintechs today, and also kind of what you see as next within fraud detection space.
Fraud is absolutely key to having a successful portfolio or program. It's going to ultimately drive the profitability, and it's one of the reasons why we have focused so heavily on fraud. Today, fraud losses for card issuers exceed $22 billion, and and EMV and other tactics are helping, but it hasn't completely eliminated the problem. And so we've put significant effort into this. The first thing that we've done is that we rolled out something that we refer to as our dynamic fraud engine. This is a dynamic, real-time, rules-based capability that we can interject rules that defend against fraudulent scenarios directly into the auth stream. This has been an extremely effective tool at fighting fraud. It, in some cases, it's lowering the cost of fraud for issuers by as much as 80%, which is a very, very dramatic number. Having a 20% card loss, fraud loss on a card portfolio is very significant. And then the other thing that we have done is that we've launched, we believe, the most successful fraud AI capability in the entire industry. And one of the things that this AI is capable of doing, we're looking at over 550 features or attributes on every given transaction in less than a tenth of a second. These features or attributes have the ability to drive the AI's behavior in such a way that we can really defend against the first or the zeroth transaction in a fraudulent scenario. So where the dynamic fraud is really defending against a pattern, the AI is actually able to learn, detect, and defend against really the first fraudulent event. Let me frame just how successful this is. The fraud AI, most AIs are measured with what's called a confusion matrix, and two key numbers or metrics come out of that. One is the relationship of true fraudulent transactions to false positives or actual cardholder transactions that are good. Those impact negatively impact the consumer experience. And so where the leader in AI might have a precision, the first metric that comes off of that of 0.25, our AI is currently operating at 0.98. Stated a different way, if you had 4,000 transactions that were recognized by the AI and you were operating at a precision of 0.25, you would have 16,000 alerts that are generated where some operator needs to intervene and contact the cardholder and say, you know, look, Clay, is this really you in California conducting this transaction? Whereas with a 0.98, you would have less than a few hundred transactions you would have to call and make that notice on. The other thing that is key here is that these two capabilities can interoperate together. In other words, our dynamic fraud engine has the ability to be able to receive input from our fraud AI. And the two of them together are extraordinarily effective at defending against fraudulent cardholder transactions.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that. And I think to kind of, you know, follow that up with that is, so I guess kind of what you're saying here, and I think most data scientists are kind of saying, is that especially when it comes to AI and machine learning, it's really the better models really kind of reside with those that can provide it more and more data, correct?
That is absolutely correct, and it's a very good point. We believe that our strength in AI actually stems from our many, many years of investment in advanced analytics and actually knowing the data as well as we do. We have had an extensive business intelligence or analytics capability that we have provided for nearly our entire existence, so almost 20 years. And that familiarity with the data is really what's driven our ability to be extremely effective in the area of AI.
Right. Now, shifting gears a little bit here. Now, there's a lot of hype around cryptocurrencies. I mean, I can't tell you how many emails I receive a day on a given day about an ICO. And so what I'm really interested in looking at is what do you see for the future of payments and cryptocurrencies? And also, what do you think of the convergence of payments and cryptocurrencies?
That's a great question. Clearly, blockchain and cryptocurrencies are here to stay. I'm not a great prognosticator, so I'm not certain exactly how soon or how far cryptocurrencies will go, but they're very important and they've certainly been widely embraced. And as such, Galileo has spent a lot of time with cryptocurrencies. For one, for example, we released a set of APIs, our cryptocurrency API, that allows the convergence of existing payments with cryptocurrencies. So one of the drawbacks to cryptocurrencies are that they are not natively or widely accepted at merchant locations today. So what you have is people investing or better speculating on cryptocurrencies, and that's creating lots and lots of demand for the underlying currency, whereas the acceptance of that currency, if indeed it is to perform as a currency by a merchant, is not as widely available. And so what you have is you have and if that were the case, essentially that currency being received by the merchant, that merchant would have to convert it back into another form of currency, and so it would provide the supply, and then the demand, of course, would normalize or equalize. That is, in nearly all cryptocurrencies, at least today, unavailable. So the problem that our cryptocurrency API is addressing is that the way that merchants accept payment today is via the payments network. And what we're doing is providing a gateway between those services. So if I'm a cryptocurrency investor and I've got Bitcoin or Ethereum or potentially other ICO, what I could do is I could tie, as a program manager, I could tie a payments capability, a debit card, to that cryptocurrency. And that payment card could then be accepted at essentially any merchant where that payment network, Visa or MasterCard, Discover, is accepted. And so that's what our cryptocurrency API is intended to do, is allow program managers to provide a gateway service between the cryptocurrency and the payments network. And that solves, in part, at least, this problem that I was alluding to earlier, where in effect, what's going to happen is that as I go out and use my payment card, my Visa, let's say, at a merchant location, in effect, what I'm doing is selling a portion of my cryptocurrency. And again, you're going to help find a normal balance between demand and supply. And so we believe that it's overall positive for the ecosystem of cryptocurrencies. So that's the problem that we're trying to solve there. The cryptocurrency API is the first of its kind to enable users and fintechs to be able to offer this type of capability where you're transferring funds and making purchases in real time at the point of sale. And we believe that that's very important for the environment of cryptocurrencies as well. So all transactions are conducted in the fiat currency and converted back to the cryptocurrency and settled by Galileo when a program manager is utilizing our cryptocurrency API.
Excellent. Now, before we wrap things up here, as we look at 2018 and beyond, what's next for Galileo Processing?
It's exciting. We're doing a number of very innovative and exciting things. And one of the things that we've just barely launched is our Galileo Securities solution. And what that is again, a set of APIs that allows investment-based firms to create a bridge between banking and payments on the one hand, and investing and securities on the other hand. And so, in essence, what I can do as an investor is that I can actually be both liquid and invested. So I can have a security that I'm invested in, generating much, much higher returns than what is available at my bank, and I can be liquid at the same time. And that's a very unique problem that Galileo is solving, and we believe holds great promise for the asset managers, wealth managers, advisors, and other investment-based firms that are wanting to create banking-like products. And in essence, what we're doing is we're allowing savers who today at banks who might be getting close to zero as a return on their deposits or savings to actually go into safe or reasonably safe investment products and convert them in a very simplistic way into investors where they have access to much higher yields. So that's one of the things that we are doing is providing this investment-based API.
Well, Clay, thank you very much for taking the time today for speaking to us about payment processing, and we hope to have you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. We wish you the very best. Thanks for the time this morning.